Hello and welcome to Animates, bringing you stories about animals and how we connect with them. This program is recorded in the studios of 2RPH Sydney for the RPH Network. I'm Elaine Jontek. Today we're going to meet a licensed pet therapy entertainer, Chrissy Stanley. She's a 69-year-old pink-haired lady who hand-rears birds, colours their feathers, and creates costumes for them before taking them into aged care homes for a one-hour comedy bird show. When I called her, she was making choo-choos for the chickens. This former hairdresser, documentary producer, just loves entertaining people. Her job in life now is to make people laugh. And she will do whatever it takes, no matter how crazy she may look. Chrissy, were you a happy, well-adjusted child growing up in the 50s?
No. No, Elaine, I wasn't. I was a single child, very, very poor, my family, and I was a sickly child. My mother was very ill with TB, tuberculosis, when I was two. She was put into hospital for a couple of years, and I went to live with my grandparents, and I contacted malnutrition. And then that led to a terrible eye infection called iritis, herpes keratitis in the eyes. I virtually lost the sight of my left eye when I was about six. That was followed up with 15 eye operations, and those eye operations were all in the Sydney Eye Hospital. And, of course, in the 50s, when they did the eye operations, the anaesthetic was ether on a mask over your face and you were strapped on the table. It was pretty horrendous.
Did you grow up with animals?
Oh, yes, I did. We always had birds, cockatoos. We had cats, dogs. I spent a lot of my childhood just one-on-one with animals. As I say, they love you unconditionally and they're just beautiful. I just think animals are the most wonderful creature in the world. No matter what it is, they all bring something to the table.
So you had a special birthday party at one stage, didn't you?
Oh gosh, I did, when I was seven, because I actually wore my school uniform out till I was 13. I never actually had my own frock till I was 13, but for my seventh birthday my mother gave me a party and she borrowed a frock for me to wear. I can still remember it was yellow. I had this fabulous birthday party and I don't know what happened, but for the first time in my life, I really, really laughed. It was just such a guttural laugh and I laughed and laughed and I went, wow, I've never experienced a sensation like this before. From that day, I went, I just want to laugh every day and I want to make people laugh. And that's what I do and I've continued to do it all my life.
The listeners can't see you, neither can I, because we're doing this on the telephone, but how long has your hair been pink? How did that come about?
Oh, my pink hair. Oh, my gosh. I love my pink hair. It's just, you know, when I went grey and I looked white and I thought, oh, gosh. Anyway, I put the pink in and my hair's pink. It's short. It's very fluffy. It's like my chicken's. And I just love it. And when I do shows, the old folks, they love it. One last week said, could I try your pink wig on, love? And I went, well, it's actually real, darling. I carry pink chalk in my bag, and if they want a splash of colour, I give them a big pink streak in their hair, and they love it.
Did you use your hairdressing skills to create those vivid rainbow colours that the birds have?
Yes, I did. When I got all the chickens and they were white, and as beautiful as they were, I thought, I just want to throw some colour into this mixture. Colour goes with laughter, it all sort of connects. And I thought, when I bring them out, people's eyes will just pop. And they do. The colours and the fluffy chickens, they're just like wind-up toys. Like, so I did my research, how I could do it that was totally harmless and non-toxic to them. Food colour, food dye, completely harmless. And it's just, honestly, it takes me 5 minutes to colour a chicken.
So how many birds do you have at home and what are they? Can you tell us a bit about them?
I've got about 30 altogether. I started off with the most magnificent blue Indian ringneck. That's a boy bird called Ruby, and I bought Ruby when he was 64 days old. He was just a little ball of fluff in a pet shop, and he's just celebrated his 20th birthday. and he is as magnificent as the day I bought him. He's heard on a lot of personalities. He's been on a lot of TV shows.
Has he done naughty things too?
Oh, gosh, I think he may have let one accidentally go on Kerri-Anne Kennelly's head. And I think he's done one on Dr. Harry. I know he did get caught. I took him on the living room and I had him on Chris Brown's head.
This is the vet, Chris Brown, is it?
Yeah,
Dr. Chris?
Dr. Chris Brown, Bondi vet, Dr. Chris. We cut to a commercial break and Dr. Chris was talking out of the side of his mouth going, Chrissy, Chrissy, the bird on my head. And I went, yeah, it's Ruby, it's fine. What's wrong? And he went, duck. And I said, what do you mean? He said, it's stuck in my hairspray. And the bird was literally, its little legs were stuck in Chris's hair. It was like a bird's nest with all the hairspray. And it was very, very funny to watch this little bird try and lift its legs up to get out of Chris's hair. He had a good laugh about it. I've got magnificent Alexandrine parrots, which are big green parrots. They were both rescued. One was rescued from a panel-beating shop, and the other one was just like a wind-up toy, but the woman didn't want it anymore, so she just handed it in. I acquired those. One's 5 and one's 4. They are beautiful, and I must say my birds have never bitten. They work wonderfully with the old folks. But in saying that, we work with them for 9 to 10 months before I take them out and introduce them to the public.
So they have quite a lot of training, do they, before they go to aged care homes?
Yes, they do. The very first thing we have to make sure is they don't get car sick, because birds get car sick like human beings and they vomit. I have a no-bite policy, so there's not even one bite allowed. I have to be 110% sure my birds won't bite, and they don't. I could put one on someone's shoulder and come back at the end of the day and it'd still be there. There'd be no bite. They're just beautiful. They're domesticated. They're hand-reared. They know they love. And they're used to so many different things going on when we go out. Like sometimes we go into a facility and there's a fire alarm and the birds are not fazed. They just sit there quietly. The dog walks past. They're not fazed. They're really, really good in all situations. All-rounders. They're great. So then my parrot. I've got a beautiful son, Konya. He used to be in the show, but he was getting a little bit out of control because his girlfriend was in the show. So I had to leave him at home now. He does the housework while we're out. I've retired him. And then I've got my magnificent Indian fantail showbird. They are a fantail pigeon. Absolutely huge. I'm trying to think what I can compare the size with. A watermelon.
It sounds like a big bird. A watermelon size.
It is a big bird with a massive double fan tail. It's probably about 10, 12 inches span across at the back. They're just beautiful birds. They don't fly away, so they're on the ground. They walk around on the ground on our property with the chickens. So they all get on famously.
So is there a sort of pecking order with these birds? Do you have one that's in charge? Or?
Always the males are cocky. I've got one particular male. His name's Milo, and he's chocolate, and he's big, and he's gorgeous, and he knows it, and Milo's happily married. He lives in private quarters with his wife, but of the morning he comes out and he visits his two girlfriends and a brick. So he's got the wife, he's got two girlfriends and the brick, and he loves them all. But he produces beautiful children, Elaine.
A good breeder. So yes. The aged care homes can be quite daunting places for some people with lots of sad, lonely people. How do you warm up the crowd?
Very good question. I mean, I love going into a room and I love reading the audience and going, this will work, this won't work. That person looks extremely sad. We've got to make her or him laugh. A lot goes into it. And then you can have people that sit there and do not show any emotion through the whole show, not even a smile, nothing. And at the end of the show, they'll come up and give me a hug and say, that was fantastic. Each one is different, and I walk away from each one taking something new that I've learned. What I do now is when I go in to start the show, and they can all be sitting there solemnly, no expression, or they can all be sitting there cheeky, you don't know. And I just introduce myself, and just at the beginning of the show, I just say to them, look, I'm just going to ask you one question, and if you please would all just, on the top of your voices, yell out the word fabulous, and then I go, how's the hair? And they go, fabulous. And that's it. That's just the icebreaker. And then they just, from there on, it's just laughter for the next hour. That's how we roll.
So they see your beautiful pink hair and they have to say the word fabulous.
Well, they do. And then quite often, if I've got 1 or 2 inches of regrowth, which I like to let go through, and they'll say, I love the colour of your hair. And then I'll just put my head down and part it and they can see the regrowth, the white hair and the pink hair. And I go, and I look like coconut ice. Which I
what a great image.
They laugh, they can all relate. And I'm very self-deprecating. I'll do whatever it takes to get a laugh. That's what I'm there for. That's what I do.
So what do you think it is about animals that can lighten a room?
All animals bring something out in people. You know, I was doing a show one day and I had all my birds out. I had like the 10 stars in my show out. Before I started, I was at a facility where they had some very traumatised residents in there that had come from a previous facility that had caught fire. None of them had left their room since this incident, but one lady didn't. She was in the front audience. And one of the nurses said to me, look, she's not left her room for ages, but she's come out to see the bird show. Can you make a fuss? And I went, of course, of course. So during the whole show, I'd take the birds up and personally introduce them to her and see if she wanted a photo with one on her shoulder. And she'd go, no, no, no. But she was laughing and she was loving the show. And at the end of the show, out of all the birds, I could tell that there was one in particular that got a heart. So I took him up, and he was my big green parrot, and I said to her, you've been looking at this one, you love him? And she said, I do, it's my favourite. And I said, can I put him on your shoulder and get a photo? And she went, no. And I went, can I ask why? And she looked at me and she said, I lost my teeth in the fire. I've got no teeth. And oh. I leaned down and I whispered into her ear and I went, the bird has no teeth either. And she burst out laughing. It was one of those moments. And she went, yes, put him on. And we got the photo. We got that beautiful photo and her smile. And look, we have a bunny in the show. Sometimes people, it just opens childhood memories. They had a bunny. They will want the bunny. Quite often the bunny disappears during the course of the show. We can't find it. And at the end of the show, we'll find that someone has hidden it in their bag.
Oh, they want to steal the bunny, do they? They want to borrow the bunny.
They want to borrow the bunny. I've seen Fatal Attraction. I know what happens to bunnies. Mm. They'll hide the bunny up their jumper. We've had that happen. They've hidden the bunny in their little Zimmer frame. So we have to keep an eye on the bunny. And the chooks. Like, you know, the majority of our old folks grew up with chickens. So that brings up memories of them having chickens. And animal therapy at the moment, it's all about it's just taking them out of their world. Back into the world when they were a kid and they had an animal and they can relate. And they will start telling stories about their pet that was a bunny or their pet that was a cocky. Mm. And that's what we want to do, trigger these emotions, get them to talk about it. And look, we all know that it's wonderful for patients with dementia and it drops blood pressure. Just makes you feel good to hold an animal, to cuddle an animal.
I believe your chicken, Rose, was granted a fantastic birthday at the Como Hotel, complete with champagne and drag queen presenting the cake. I saw this on your Tropfest film.
Oh, yes. We did a fabulous seven-minute film called Adventure Before Dementia, which we entered into Tropfest, and it was shortlisted. And then we entered it into the Sanctuary Cove Film Festival last December. And we won. The film won the best documentary. I was absolutely thrilled. I couldn't believe it. And we filmed at a local facility here in the Shire. And all the residents were in it. And they were thrilled. And then we also filmed at Como Hotel, where I took the pink chicken into the hotel. And she was all dressed up. And we drank champagne. And we danced and laughed and filmed. And it was just about everyday life and what I do.
Doesn't sound like everybody's everyday life.
I tell you what, I sleep well at night. But, you know, if you could see me at the moment, I go out every day, I do a show. I might be out for an hour, but the work prior and the work after, like, it's 24/7. I've got 30 birds, so I've got 30 babies. So every morning when I get up, I go around, I do a vet check on them all morning and night. They have to be checked for life. They have to be checked that they're clean, that their weight hasn't dropped. It's never ending, but your mind never stops. I love it. And if you could see me now, I've got an old gumboot and an old pair of shorts and a T-shirt. I've just been raking up the chickens, changing all their bedding. It is full throttle with them all, but that's my world. I love it.
I imagine that you're booked up quite a few months ahead, are you, for your bird shows in aged care homes?
Yeah. When I started, I had 3 birds. Now I've got 33. And I was doing one show a month. And now it's there's 6-month wait. Well, actually, I've got nothing until March next year. And I just, if anyone would like a show, I just put them on the cancellation list. And quite often we'll get a cancellation because of gastro or flu, and that gives me a vacancy, and then I can ring someone on the wait list.
So how could people get in touch with you?
They can get in touch with me through my website, which is chrisstanley.com, and that's K-R-I-S-Stanley.com. I'm on Instagram, Chris Stanley, or I'm on Facebook, Chrissy Stanley, or just Mr. Google. I love Google. Tap in Chris Stanley. I'll pop up.
It's been absolutely wonderful talking to you. And and I understand you do this as a volunteer, although you do have a sponsor.
Yes, I do have a sponsor and I do volunteer. I do lots for charity. I just do whatever I can. Life's too short. You've got to get out there. You've got to have a laugh and you've got to make people happy. And that's what I do. I might be able to cook or do housework, but I can make people laugh.
That sounds like a great gift. Thank you very much for talking to us, Chrissy Stanley. It's been wonderful.
And I'll see you around like a donut, darling.
I've just been speaking to quirky Chrissy Stanley from Chrissy Stanley's Feathered Friends. You have been listening to Animates. This program has been recorded in the studios of 2RPH Sydney for the RPH Network. Our technical producer is Katie Brooks, research by Joseph Franser, and I'm Elaine Jontek. Please join us again next fortnight for more stories of animals and their mates.